Welcome to the Pacific Forest Foundation's Talking Timber, where each week you meet the professionals behind the Northwest timber industry.
Hi, and welcome. I'm Diane Mittler, Executive Director of the Pacific Logging Congress and host of Talking Timber. In this episode, we will be speaking to Mark Lefebvre, this year's president of the Intermountain Logging Conference. In the meantime, I want to thank our sponsors, the Pacific Logging Congress and the Pacific Forest Foundation, who are both promoting sound technical forest education through projects like this podcast. This year, the Pacific Forest Foundation awarded over $30,000 in scholarships. They are now taking applications. To find out more, just visit www.pacificforestfoundation.org. Okay, now let's hear from Mac.
Hi, Diane. First of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here. My name is Mac Lefay. I live in Grangeville, Idaho. I work for Mast Reforestation. Grangeville is a rural community of about 3,000 folks, kind of in the middle of nowhere, north central Idaho.
So how did you get into the industry?
Yeah, so we're several generations deep in my family on both sides in logging. And my family moved to northern Idaho around the year of the 1910 fires, so 1910. My dad worked for Gippo's in northern Idaho and then U of I to help pay for his U of I forestry degree. And then he had a long 38-year career with Weyerhaeuser. Much of it in raw materials for pulp and paper. And I guess I don't care which side of the cascades you're on, loggers just tend to have the best stories. And I argue that with anybody. And I guess as a young guy, listen to the tales of all the shenanigans in the woods. The snow is 12 feet deep and blah, blah, blah. There's some good ones out there.
The bears and all those.
Some of the best times at the logging conference is just sitting around listening to all these stories, I think. But yeah, I was surrounded as a kid by these wonderful, hardworking, honest folks from across the industry. And I knew from a young age that this is where I wanted to be, and I've never looked back.
So nice.
It's a wonderful industry to be in. After growing up throughout Washington, I entered, I guess, what you could call the forestry business, shearing Christmas trees in high school outside of Rainier, Oregon for Skeens Tree Farms, and did some choker setting on my way through University of Idaho for my forestry degree. Spent most of my career as a procurement forester for Idaho Forest Group's Grangeville, Idaho sawmill.
Okay. And so what does a procurement officer do, for those that don't know?
Procurement forester, I guess it's kind of a catch-all, wear a lot of different hats term, but it's as a forester, you're basically trying to get enough logs to the mill at the right price, at the right time, lining up timber sales, working with the loggers, road builders, thinners, you name it, to achieve the landowner's objectives and get the logs to the mill.
Today you work for Mast Reforestation, correct?
Yeah, so at Mast Reforestation, I joined with them in May of 2023, kind of the opposite end of the spectrum from getting logs out of the woods to make lumber out of to getting baby trees in the ground. So Mast Reforestation was formerly Drone Seed. We're a fully vertically integrated company from cones, growing and planting millions of seedlings all the way to capital markets, and that's what's used to pay for post-fire restoration. We have recent acquisitions of Silver Seed Nursery in Roy, Washington, Cal Forest Nursery in Etna, California. My colleagues, Matthew Agai and Arnu De Villegas, appeared on this show in January of 2023. So I'd encourage you to check out what they had to say in the archives here. They're brilliant gentlemen and always great insights on what we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
But you work with an incredibly passionate group of people. They all care deeply about responding to the wildfire crisis we're in and getting resilient forests stood back up. As I'm sure the listeners already know, the size and severity of these fires across the West, combined with hotter, drier summers, it's resulting in vast swaths, being replaced to fresh fields. And that's how they're going to stay for decades in many cases. But yeah, we use funding from carbon markets to fund this expensive work of getting these hillsides reforested. And an important piece of what we do that's very important to me is you know, we use active management over time to ensure these forests remain resilient and are more likely to withstand future fire events. Because we all know, I don't care what state you're in, it's not an if, but a when fire's going to hit again. And we need to be doing our job to keep things managed properly so that these forests have a chance next time the fire comes around.
I just thought it was fascinating when they were talking about the seedlings. And I mean, they just are different now because the soil's different. These burn so hot that you just can't plant the same tree the same way. And so it's just a whole new science, actually.
Yeah, especially east of the Cascades, you know, we're definitely precipitation limited. So, you know, if you're looking at a black surface without much, you know, much left in the soil there, obviously very important to be thinking about. Maybe we need to change things up and make sure we have some good root systems that can get down through that and take off.
Yeah, no, absolutely a whole new world in seedlings. So, so how did you make it the jump to harvesting to planting?
Yeah. So, as a procurement forester, obviously loved the smell of the sawdust and being right there in the middle of the logging and watching log trucks go down the road and lumber being made and just all great stuff. And then always kind of wondered about the carbon, and, you know, the more I talked to the folks at MAST and all the neat things they're doing with using carbon to fund some great reforestation on our landscapes, was just really attracted by not only their vision and their passion for what they do, but just a great group of people. So it was a jump I decided to make to try it out and learn more about.
So what do you do exactly for them then?
For MAST, I'm director of originations in the Inland Empire, which is basically east of the Cascades. We have other folks in Western Washington, Oregon, and California looking at projects in all 11 Western states, but basically looking for larger landowners that have been affected by catastrophic wildfire, interested in, you know, getting new trees planted and maintaining resilient forests over the long term.
And so is there kind of a learning curve there?
Definitely, yeah. big shift for me. I've had a lot of growth in new directions and learned a lot about the other end of the business. But I really feel like as a whole, I think there's a lot more thought being given to our climate and S&P 500 companies, you know, over a third of them are starting to think about being carbon neutral and you know, it's a real thing and a lot of people wrestling with how do we take a little better care of our environment.
So we previously did a podcast with Drone Seed, now MAST. Then they used a lot of technology. I assume that's still the case?
Correct. Yeah, we're using latest and greatest technology for remote sensing. The end of the day, I know across the industry that's taking place. At the end of the day, there's not always a good substitute for boots on the ground and really identifying landowner needs and coming up with the best plan. And so we do on the front end, we do a lot of remote sensing, but as we really start to narrow down and fine tune our reforestation projects, it's boots on the ground and doing good projects.
Nice. So any one of them you'd like to mention? Projects that we might know about, or?
One that it's in progress. It's a three phases of planting, but it would be Sheep Creek, Montana. That's outside of Cascade. Don Harlan's been a great partner of our company. This spring we have 700 plus thousand, I'm going to say closer to 750,000 seedlings going in the ground up there.
Wow.
The Sheep Creek Ranch was devastated in 2021. MAST did some great work in getting cones collected and seed processed and getting some seedlings in the ground. So here we are, I want to say almost 2 years later and year two of planting
nice.
Just doing awesome stuff on his ranch.
For you and your company, there's a lot of technology and a lot of boots on the ground. So we always kind of ask if there's different opportunities for the next generation coming in, and it's, from the sound of it, it's not all just the average logger that you hear about. There's lots of opportunities.
I think you nailed it. Yeah. And the days of the size 4 hard hat and 40 inch chest are old, I think, in our industry for the most part. And much like, you know, we've seen in the sawmilling industry, you know, it's just more and more mechanization. I just saw clips on an autonomous skidder. Equipment that costs over $1 million in the woods. I mean, the listening audience is well aware of how much stuff costs these days. I think we will, and, you know, back to the reforestation end of things, and timber inventories, and it's going to be more and more remote sensing. Technology is getting better and better, more and more efficient, cheaper. It's just going nothing but that direction. I think real opportunities in our industry lie in the folks that can keep those machines running efficiently, technicians that can keep them operating, folks that know how to use them, and folks that are willing to put down the money to, I think they're going to, in the end, going to be the most successful companies.
Well, then this is a good segue in for equipment, in that there's going to be some on display at the upcoming Intermountain. Is that correct?
Yes. We have a great show coming up. In 2022, we had record equipment sitting out in the yard. I don't know how they packed it all in there, but our team did an awesome job. This year we have, it's looking really good. We've got tons of folks coming along with a fantastic agenda. I mean, business needs kind of soup to nuts, a lot of tether assist panelists, just some really great stuff in terms of what we're going to be bringing to our audience. I think it'll be great.
Guys, I had somebody who was there in 22 say, I cannot believe how much equipment they had there. So
I'm happy to hear that. Yeah.
they were still talking about 2 years later. So.
That makes me happy. And yeah, in combination with our, you know, in agenda, I think it's a can't miss event. I encourage everybody that's listening to try and find time to make it over.
And for somebody who hasn't been to the Intermountain Logging Conference, maybe you can tell folks where it's at and when and that kind of thing.
Yeah, our conference is in the Spokane Valley at the Mirabeau Inn. It's east of Spokane a little ways, and it's April 3rd and 4th. So it's a Wednesday and Thursday. And, you know, we have a banquet, probably have 300 to 400 folks in attendance throughout the conference. Just some fantastic people. You won't be sad you came over here.
Yeah, I've been to it a number of times. It's a really great conference. So
thank you.
And you are the president of it, correct?
I am the president this year. Yeah. And a fun fact, I'm not sure all of our board members know this, but the connection between the Pacific Logging Conference and the Intermountain Logging Conference is until 1938, they were one and the same. And I think the group kind of identified that, well, we probably need some more regional type.
Committee.
And so that's when in 1938, the ILC was formed. So I am the president of the 84th Intermountain Logging Conference.
Well, congratulations. The presidents always look like they're having fun at that conference. So
yeah, maybe it's because everybody else is doing all the hard work.
Who's your keynote speaker this year? Or do you have one?
Our keynote speaker this year is, I'm glad you asked. Thank you. His Chase Barber with Edison Motors. He's from north of the border. I've listened to Chase before. He's phenomenal. I'm not going to steal his thunder, but used his student loan for college to like fund building electric log trucks out in his garage kind of guy. This guy is incredible. He's making some huge leaps and bounds in terms of those electric log truck technologies, you know, more of a hybrid scenario at this point. But just doing some incredible stuff. So Chase will be our keynote. We've also got Blake Manley speaking. We got University of Idaho recently hired Blake. He came from Sweet Home, Oregon, in the VoAg program there. But yeah, Blake will be talking about recruitment. Super inspiring guy to listen to, among many others. Yeah, we have some really great content.
And you have a lot of great exhibitors. I've hung out with those guys a lot.
So. Yeah, vendors, equipment. Yeah, just a lot to see there. A lot to take in.
Hi. We're going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors, the Pacific Forest Foundation and the Pacific Logging Congress. The Pacific Logging Congress is going to be holding its annual conference in Kauai this year, November 4th through the 6th. There will be great networking opportunities and dynamic speakers. For more details, just visit www.pacificloggingcongress.org. Okay, back to Mac and what we can expect from the upcoming Intermountain Logging Conference.
Yeah, we always shoot for a good show. And our goal is always, you know, we're trying to probably mission align probably with the PLC, I'm guessing, in terms of, you know, how do we advance our industry? How do we get better at safety? How do we run better businesses? How do we improve our image in the public eye? Just trying to make our industry a better place. That's our, and provide value to the folks that take time out of their busy schedules to come hang out with us for a couple of days in April.
Great. And do you guys give credits to loggers for attending?
Have credits classes? For loggers? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I encourage everybody to, if you're interested, visit intermountainlogging.org. And on there, it has credits by state and a lot more detail on our agenda and exhibitors and sponsors and so forth. So okay. please check it out.
What kind of opportunities are you seeing in the industry today?
Yeah, I think the future is bright for companies that are able to recruit and retain core talent. Nothing new here, but we're getting older.
Yeah.
A lot of older folks. And I think as an industry, once we're backfilling for, you know, inevitably over the next 5 or 10 years, there's going to be a lot of operations that either hand over the reins or just cash out.
Yeah.
So I think that turnover needs to be intentional and well thought out with, you know, some planning around that. And I think healthy partnerships between logging contractors and landowners will be critical in making sure everybody's needs are being met.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think if you're a young person looking at the natural resource fields, whether that's going to college or whether that means running a feller buncher, I think as long as you have, you know, drive and willingness to work hard and placement rates are very good. I think the same is true for the skilled trades. And again, you know, these machines cost a lot of money and making sure that they're working efficiently for as long as possible per day will be a big part of a logger's budget over the course of a year and success over the course of a year. Yeah. So I think folks that are able to help them do that will be very well employed.
That's great. Do you have kids? Are they getting involved or do you have family?
Yeah, wife and three kids. Our oldest son is a sophomore at University of Idaho and two daughters in high school. And the son is thinking about it, but I think he's kind of that 19-year-old, just deer in the headlights a little bit on which direction he's heading.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hopeful that we can get some kind of a forestry, maybe even at least a minor on his resume before it's all said and done here. Uh-huh. And obviously we all spend a lot of time together in the woods, and it's a central part of our recreation and what we like to do when we have some free time.
Well, if he's looking for scholarships and he's taking forestry classes, he can apply at the PLC. We're giving away lots of money. So
noted. All right. And we also have two scholarship opportunities, which any of your audience should take at and see if they have some kids that might be eligible.
Great. And need to help those kids make the next jump. So.
Absolutely.
So what are you looking forward to? Are you hopeful for the industry?
I also recently listened to OLC President Steve Henson's podcast and found myself nodding along in agreement regarding management on our federal lands. As someone who spent most of my career with a front row seat to forest resiliency harvest treatments throughout central Idaho, I still remain hopeful that good science and not litigation will prevail in dealing with the forest health crisis on our federal lands. And that's going to be a huge opportunity for our contractors. And I'm hopeful that we're going to get there.
We want to thank our sponsors, the Pacific Forest Foundation and the Pacific Logging Congress, for making this podcast possible. And a big thank you to Mac for taking time out for this episode of Talking Timber. Until next time, take care.